Grace to you and peace
from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the phone rings. A voice on the other end says, "You do not know me, and likely never will. At 1 o'clock this coming morning, I will break into your home and steal your most valuable possessions." Click. What would you do following this frightening phone call? After the numbness wears off, you would likely proceed to notify the police of this strange conversation. Then you would take whatever precautions you could in order to have your home protected from this potential burglary, making sure your family, your possessions, yourself are safe. In his words of preparation to his disciples, the Lord Jesus told them that his return on the last day will happen like a thief who comes in the night. And normally when a thief comes, you do not know it until it is too late, for they do not wish to get caught. They want to succeed in their theft. And so a thief who announces his upcoming crime will fail in the execution of that for which he strives. You would be ready, and you would suffer no harm. And while the Lord Jesus will most certainly come again as suddenly and unexpectedly as a thief in the night, he has certainly not kept this a secret. He has blurted it out for all of his disciples to hear. Excuse me. And it has been recorded for all the world to hear. An ongoing mantra to help understand God's intentions should be his word from Ezekiel 33, that he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he wants all people to repent and to believe in the gospel and thus to be saved. That is his chief desire. And so Jesus blurts out this very sentiment in his words from today's gospel text. In this last Sunday, before Holy Week begins, we hear the words of Jesus that his followers and those crowds around him would have heard him say as well, just a few brief days before his death. They are words of fair warning of what is to come. And Jesus even announces his own coming as the rejection as the Son of God. God has long compared his people, his chosen ones, to his own vineyard. Isaiah recorded this imagery early on in his book, the 5th chapter. For God's chosen people were to be faithful to him no matter what would happen in their lives. They were to recognize the very word of God and the will of God above all else, no matter what. They were to faithfully then share that word and that will, that desire of God with each other regularly, and then even into all the world. For that gospel message of grace and of salvation was never meant for the Hebrew people alone. They were the chosen conduit through whom the Savior of the nations would come. And truly, that Savior had arrived. He had been working amongst the Jewish people for several years by that point before Holy Week. And the religious leaders of the Jewish people were well versed in the law and the prophets of the old. Had they read those texts faithfully, with their eyes fixed on the coming Savior of the entire world, they would have gladly submitted themselves to Jesus. They would have eagerly pointed out for all of the people of Israel, pointed them to Jesus, and been excited to see now what he had in mind as he had arrived finally into this world. But sadly, these leaders of the people were not faithful. They clung to their own ideas of righteousness. They believed the right interpretation of the law and the prophets was to focus them in on their own piety, their own goodness as God's people. They believed their righteousness was pleasing in God's sight and would warrant them God's favor forever. But of course, they were wrong. Now, Jesus acted graciously, and he warns them of this grievous error, speaking to his followers and with the chief priests and scribes listening in. Jesus speaks the words of today's parable. And these religious leaders listening in figured it out pretty quickly that Jesus was speaking against them. They were the wicked tenants in the parable. They were the ones who rejected the message of the prophets. Most recently, the message of John the Baptizer. And now Jesus was accusing them of rejecting God's own Son, Jesus himself. But they simply could not see it. They would not see it. They did not wish to see it. For they could not and they would not accept the claim of Jesus that he was truly the Son of God now in human flesh. And he did not fit their idea of the Messiah. He did not fit into their understanding of true righteousness. But they should have seen it. They should have known. For it was in the Scriptures that they knew and they treasured so well. Our Old Testament text for today from Isaiah 43 identifies God's action of doing a new thing. He makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty water, something that we cannot do on our own. And speaking through Isaiah, Yahweh God says to his people, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old." Well, this message, the chief priests and the scribes, they could not wrap their minds around. They would not give up those old, treasured, sacred ways. And neither would one chief Pharisee, Saul. As he would later write in Philippians chapter 3, "I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless." The Pharisees and this Saul were steeped in their own righteousness and could not fathom, could not comprehend a righteousness apart from the law. Thanks be to God. Saul was converted by direct revelation given by our Lord Jesus Christ. He became the great Christian apostle, Paul. For the Pharisees and the scribes, what God was doing through Jesus was truly a new thing when compared to their own works righteousness. However, all that Jesus preached and taught, his very ministry that he performed, was nothing new at all. It was what Yahweh God had promised all along. It was what the faithful remnants throughout their history would recognize as the true gospel. And the faithful from the past believed wholeheartedly that they were saved only by God's grace. They knew their sin deserved them eternal punishment. Abraham and all the rest were credited with righteousness simply by faith in God's grace, in his promises. And Paul came to despise his own earthly righteousness, which was tainted righteousness after all. "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Jesus spoke the words of today's parable as a sincere warning to his fellow Jews, especially knowing the self-righteous scribes and chief priests were listening in. Their path, on their own good works, their own deeds, their wrong interpretation of the law and the prophets, that path only leads to death and destruction. No one is righteous on their own before God. For only the righteousness of His Son, of Christ Jesus Himself, gives the life everlasting that we need. That is the stark contrast between the law and the gospel. The law always condemns the sinner, but the gospel always proclaims the sinner is justified by grace through faith. And our good and gracious God wants all people to know this very truth, for the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again very soon, and He will come again without warning. And yet He has provided all the warnings that anyone could possibly want. And until Christ Jesus returns, the time is always now to repent and believe the gospel. And by His great word and His holy sacraments, you do just that. Repent and believe in the gospel. By the grace of Jesus, the beloved Son of God. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and unto life everlasting. Amen.